guest for this week's one-on-one is the man behind the Prague Fringe, Stephen Gove. For many years, Stephen's been working in his native Scotland at the Edinburgh Fringe and is now on the board of directors of what's said to be the biggest arts festival in the world. A few years ago, he came up with the idea of bringing a bit of this creative chaos to the Czech capital, where he's now based. Sitting at his dinner table in Prague's leafy Vinohrady, Stephen told me why.
The Fringe has now been running in Prague for 7 years, and a couple of years before that, in the summer of 2000, I was back home in Scotland at the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, and I'd kind of been mulling over various ideas for a while about doing something creative here in Prague where I lived. And kind of out of the blue, and after probably 3 beers, I said to a couple of friends, why don't we kind of try and do something a bit like the Fringe in Prague? And initially the idea was to perhaps put together an English language theatre festival, and we were trying to come up with a name for that, and all the names that we came up with sounded horrible. So we just thought, well, hang on a minute, the Fringe, the whole idea of the Fringe is that it's a mixed bag of everything, and why just have an English language theatre festival? We could have some Czech work, work from all over the world. So the idea sort of gelled into becoming, you know, let's set up a Fringe and see how it goes. So the following year, I headed back to Edinburgh, and we had a press launch. Quite a number of performers were at the press conference that we'd hoped to invite the next year. And we left that thinking, God, we've actually announced that this is going to happen. We've got to do it. So we had 12 shows, almost all one-person shows, and it was really exciting. You know, we met all of the performers at the airport and sort of took them by taxi to the hotel. And I can only admit this now, that we are selling a lot of tickets, but about half a minute before the first performance of the first ever Prague Fringe, we hadn't sold a single ticket in advance for anything.
Maybe you can just tell me about how, after that first somewhat less sellout Fringe, things have developed. Has it got much bigger? And it seems to span more of the year now, for a start, than it did that first year.
Yeah, we sold probably around, or just over 400 tickets, I think, that first year, and we weren't quite sure if that was a success or not. Now, this year, in May, the Fringe had its 7th birthday, and we sold just under 5,000 tickets. So in a very short period of time, the event itself has grown in terms of numbers of shows, number of theatres that we use, and the number of days that it takes place. It's been a struggle to get to that point, and although the first year seemed like it was going to be the hardest, it kind of did get worse for about 2 years after, in a sense that I think it was the second year, we faced a tremendous debt at the end of the festival, and really weren't quite sure if it was going to be able to go ahead or not. But it was actually a case of survival at that point, because I was living here, and you know, I was teaching English still. I had a little English language school, which was doing okay. But my raison d'etre by that point was the Fringe. And I was just determined that we were going to just have to make this work.
We've talked before, and I've asked you about how the Prague Fringe compares to the Edinburgh Fringe, and you've said, well, in scale it can't, and that the Prague Fringe is a little slice, maybe, of the Edinburgh Fringe. But does the Prague Fringe have its own special atmosphere that you've never felt, like at any of these other fringes that now take place all over the world?
Well, without a doubt, it does. You know, in terms of the venues that we use and the bars, I mean, you know, we use places that have a very Czech feel to them. So, for example, Baračnická Rýchta, which is a wonderful, dusty, old sort of town hall or village hall feel to it. And it's full of ghosts and spirits. And, I mean, it's classically Czech. You know, they serve massive portions of goulash there and onion soup. So when we present, you know, like this year, we presented Caris Thompson, an Australian folk roots group. And, you know, the kind of crowd that we attracted to that, both tourists and locals alike, it's a definite Prague thing. You know, you can't swap that. You can't find that in Edinburgh. You can't replicate that in Edinburgh. So despite the fact that it definitely has similarities, you know, the atmosphere, the buzz, going from show to show, you know, running through cobbled streets that you constantly get lost in, and, you know, finding like a cellar bar that's like just full of smoke, and at the back somewhere there's a little theatre. It's all very, very much a Prague or Czech experience, which is great, and that adds, you know, its own flavour to the event.
You'd mentioned earlier that Prague is known for all of its theatres. It's known as being a very cultural place and very good, I think, for drama. But in the last year, lots of actors and lots of people working in Prague's theatres have been very, very unhappy with the way that the local council, say, looks at drama and theatre funding. You're obviously involved with Svandovo Divadlo, which was one of the big theatres, you know, protesting against the way that the arts are funded in Prague. Where do you stand on this as someone who's very, very, and has been for a long time, very involved in the kind of theatre world here in Prague?
It's very complicated, and as a foreigner, I guess, you know, it was a very odd position to be in, because, you know, I'm kind of always aware that I'm a foreigner here, and despite the fact that I've been here 11 years, and I didn't really want to kick up too much of a fuss, but I kind of got from out of the blue somehow a bit of energy this year, given that there was so much going on and that the Initiative for Culture had basically pulled together a number of, well, the petition and a number of events to really highlight the situation. And, you know, the Fringe was in danger, as many other art events or festivals and theatres were. In terms of the city theatres and their futures, everyone's waiting. Apparently there's going to be quite a lot of audits done, and deep audits of what's happening before the city decides what to do. But I think it's a real shame. I think Prague is a very cultural place, and in all sorts of ways brings business to the city, not just by having locals go out to see theatre who are buying drinks, spending money on public transport, but also tourists that come. And that makes money for the city. And so it's inconceivable that the city would want to, you know, cut funding to bodies that actually then generate more money for the city. I don't understand that. And to fund commercial projects, glitzy, high-end theatre projects that have the money from other sources, I don't get it. It makes no sense at all.
I know that you do a lot of work still at the Edinburgh Fringe, and it's there at the Edinburgh Fringe that you often find interesting acts to bring to Prague. Now, the Edinburgh Fringe came and went. We met each other in August. You were obviously at that time kind of scouting for people to bring to Prague. Can you tell us what we can maybe expect next May? Can you give us a few tips?
Well, a group that we actually had at the Fringe last year called Paper Birds had a wonderful show called 40 Feathered Winks, which went down very well. They actually, we saw them in Edinburgh the year before, and based on their performance here in Prague, they were picked up by the Amsterdam Fringe. And I saw their new show back in Edinburgh this year, which is called In a Thousand Pieces. And they won a Fringe first, actually, in Edinburgh this year, which was fantastic. And it's on a very delicate subject of trafficking in the sex industry. So we've invited them back. I saw their new show and absolutely loved it. And they're delighted to have been invited back. It depends. Every year, you know, I see about 60 shows a year in Edinburgh. That's what I'm there for. And it varies. You know, we get anything between no and, you know, 10 shows that I've seen in Edinburgh coming over.